Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. Steve Sciarippa, good morning.
What's happening, man? How are you?
Hello. What's happening?
Hey.
We heard you were in New Haven recently.
Oh, yeah. That Frank Pepe's pizza, I dream about that at night.
Me too.
So I used to dream about women. Now I dream about that pizza.
You can do both.
That's the thing. When you talk to your guy friends about the food.
Right.
More than about the women.
Right.
That's when you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I love Frank Pepe's. I like it there a lot. I had pizza, had a salad, I had my dog with me.
Willie.
My dog, Willie Boy. Willie Boy goes everywhere with me. He was there. He's eating healthy. He didn't have pizza.
I noticed. He had a cucumber?
I gave him a cucumber. Usually he eats pizza.
Now that cucumber in a dog's system is not going to be a problem later on.
Nah, this dog eats anything.
Wow.
Anything. Carrots, cucumbers, lettuce. He eats super sod. He eats watermelon.
Jeez, super sod's great.
It's garbage disposal.
So you know, pizza crust. He likes bananas.
Bananas. I was going to say you got to peel it for him, obviously. He's good. He can have my food.
So you excited about the show tomorrow?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a great crowd. We love coming to Connecticut. Absolutely, positively. It's going to be a great show. We got the great comic Joey Cola. We show clips. We're going to do a Q&A, meet and greet.
Bobby Bacaloff from The Sopranos on the show to promote In Conversation with The Sopranos tomorrow at the Palace Theater in Waterbury. Give me a sample story of one of the stories you share from The Sopranos.
So Michael and Jim was shooting a scene where they throw Ralphie's body off a cliff, right? He was in the body bag, supposedly.
Yeah.
And so they're doing it out in the forest, and they got to light it, so they rehearse it. They go back to Jim's trailer. Jim says, you want a drink? They crack open a full bottle of Jack Daniels. They're lighting the whole thing. 3 hours later, they knock on the door. We're ready. Michael and Jim finished the bottle of Jack Daniels.
Oh, no.
Now, they're afraid. They have no lines, no dialogue, so they're afraid that when they throw the body, they're going to fall off the cliff. So they chain their ankles to trees, and they cover it with leaves. And that is the scene you see when they're throwing Ralphie's body off the thing.
I'm going to have to watch that again
now.
Oh,
my God, that's awesome.
There's stories that only people that were there would know. You know what I mean? These aren't, you know, generic stories. You know, we were there. We talked. The Q&A, always new stuff comes up. People have some great questions.
I'm sure the end comes up a lot.
Well, in the Q&A, you know, people ask us what we thought of it. You know, that's an old question. I mean, everyone has an opinion.
That's right.
Some think he died. Some think he's alive. I personally used to think he was alive, but as we did the podcast, I think that's changed, you know?
What made you think differently?
You know, I don't know. David Chase, we interviewed him 3 times. He never said anything, but I just kind of got that feeling like, how could he not have? You know, something happened, you know? Right.
Yeah, and I walked scot-free.
You know, but I could be wrong. Maybe he's alive and well and still doing his thing in Jersey.
The hardest thing ever is to write a great ending for a show with such great expectations. When you say a show like Seinfeld or The Sopranos is ending and you're sitting on the couch and you know this is the final episode, that's a tough episode to write.
Yeah.
You know, it never lives up. Look, like the Super Bowl, it never lives up to the hype because here we are 18 later still talking about it.
Right. True. That's the thing. He accomplished the mission, which was one, make it memorable.
Yep.
And everybody still talks about that. If you do any list about a series ending, that one is always mentioned.
Always mentioned.
The other thing he did, I thought, which was brilliant, was it was a violent ending, which in your imagination, it's a violent ending. But if 5 or 6 years later, everyone thought, hey, people want to do a movie or we want to revisit this, you could write it.
It's open.
You could have revisited it.
Intention, though, you know, no. To be honest with you, I don't think so. I think he had the ending long before that. I don't think that was the intention. I do think this, if Jim didn't pass away, I think he would have did a movie if they would have paid him enough money, because he got away. Tony Soprano was driving him crazy. The violence, the yelling. You know, he had to get away from that. So when the show ended in 2007, Jim had moved to L.A. for a while. He was with his family. He got married. Because Jim was nothing like Tony Soprano. He was a kind of a hippie. He wore Birkenstocks. He listened to music. I mean, he wasn't a wise guy type guy at all. You know, and then he passed away in 2013. But we had to do it before everyone got too old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We did a prequel at some point, but then we would have got too old, right?
Right.
Like Sex and the City. I mean, they're still going. It's a little ridiculous.
That was, you know? My wife was a big fan of that show, but when they rebooted it, she was done.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I agree. You know, it's like, come on now, you know.
We're talking to Steve Sciarippa of The Sopranos, In Conversation with The Sopranos, coming to the Palace Theater tomorrow. You know who did a good revisiting was Seinfeld, how they wrote it into Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Curb, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big Seinfeld fan. You know, I think it's the greatest sitcom, you know, and no matter how many times I've seen them, I still laugh.
And they never did touchy-feely episode.
If you think of the ending finales of shows, I think Newhart had a good ending.
That was clever.
That was brilliant.
That was clever.
Most of them don't live up to the hype. Certainly Seinfeld didn't.
No.
It's kind of lackluster.
That's another one that didn't. So when they revisited that in Curb, they did a much better job.
Right.
Yeah.
Mother was cleaning things up. Yep.
You came into acting kind of sideways, right?
Yeah. I had another job. I was in Las Vegas, and I was an entertainment director at the Riviera Hotel.
Nice.
And I started acting some comics. I was dealing with a lot of comics. They put me in some of their sketches and little films, and I caught the bug. And then when things were coming into town, I would audition, you know, and I started getting some stuff, you know, line, two lines, three lines. And then I had some agent friend was starting to send me out. I had a wife, two kids. I was 40 years old, 41. But then I came to New York for a wedding, and I auditioned for the show. They asked me to come back, and I wasn't gonna, and I flew back, and I did it. And for that first year, I did six episodes, but I still kept my day job. So I flew back and forth on my own dime. It cost me $24,000, and I only made $22,000.
Wow.
And then the following year, they made me a series regular. And they moved my family back to New York, you know.
Well worth it.
So, that's the sacrifice you know, that none of us see.
Exactly.
You know, please a lot take. Of luck. My wife was all for it. It could have backfired.
Could.
Yeah.
But we took a shot, you know.
Good shooting.
It worked out.
Yeah, that worked
and
out.
Timing and a lot of luck. I mean, what's the chance that I come back here for a wedding?
Did you know you were going to audition when you went back for the wedding? Or you went back for the wedding and heard about the audition?
No, I came here and then I said, this agent friend, I just said, hey, Tim, you know, there's that show, The Sopranos. Maybe I could get a line or two, you know. And it just so happened they were casting, so I read for the role of an FBI agent. And it was Christopher Walken's wife was the casting director. So I went up to her office on Broadway. It was 1999. So they faxed me the sides. And I did the best I can. I was in a hotel room. I read for it, and I went up there, and, you know, I guess she liked me. But she said, hey, I don't see you as that. Here, read this, and she gave me the role of Bobby. I came back the next week, and I flew out. I think there was like 100 people auditioned for it, you know?
Damn.
You know, I went in there. I was kind of naive, even though I had been working. You know, I had done it. I had done stuff, but I was kind of naive. And when I went to the audition, there was like, all kinds of people there, like some famous people that you know. You go into the audition room, you're going, what chance do I have?
Right, why am I here?
Yeah, look at this person.
I should just leave
you know,
now.
What chance do I have?
Like, yeah, that voice.
I mean, that happened to me early on. Like, I'm going,
yeah.
Well, I know that guy. Well, look at that guy. That's so-and-so.
He's a great actor.
You know? Right, you become,
Yeah, but you know, this is what I learned. MC Gainey, if you look him up, you know the guy. He's been in 100 movies. And he said that to him. I said, what chance do I have going up against you? When I first started, I was in Santa Monica. He said, listen, we're all different. I can't do what you do. You can't do what I do. It depends on what they want in there. You know, and that always stayed in my head.
That's
so
great.
Even though you're going up against so-and-so, hey, He can't do what I do.
They might not want that.
Exactly.
Well, I'm glad you were the guy that David Chase picked.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, thank you.
You can't picture anyone else doing that role.
No.
You can't.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But, you know, sometimes you're not the guy.
Steve,
really
thank you so much for coming on and sharing time with us. And we look forward to the show tomorrow. Still some tickets left for In Conversation with the Sopranos at the Palace Theater in Waterbury.
Oh, wow.
We're linked on the radio station website. Thank you, Steve.
Beautiful, guys.
Thank
Good talking
you,
to you.
Thank you, sir.
We'll see you.
Yep, okay.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.